Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another reality show. I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and we have another great Thursday with Chris and Goddess Sophia. So excited to be talking here tonight, and my friends are showing up. Z28's in the healing room and Healing Vortex. Hi, guys. So first of all, welcome to the show, Chris. Such a pleasure to have you here.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be back.
Yeah, and me and Chris were just, talking briefly before the show about, it's a family show, but, I'm going to be so profound to say, the shit has been hitting the fan everywhere.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And what's even funny is we don't just have one fan in the room. I'm saying most people probably have a good 6 or 7 fans per room.
Yeah, it's going everywhere. We did. We just recently did a whole. We put out a weekly newsletter called Insights, and I'm not sure if you read it that week, but I had a bad week. And
I read it. That's what I said.
I went to this whole tirade around shit, and I just did this tirade, and I handed it over to John, my manager, and I said, "This is probably not usable." And he said, "Oh my God, I love it!"
Exactly.
And then brought it to Sophia, who really started to talk about the value of the smelly times, the value of shit, and all that. So yeah, I feel that people are really resonating with shit happens these days, and that it is kind of rough out there right now.
Absolutely. And, what I loved about the newsletter and the video is we really, the time in consciousness right now is not for us to stuff it. The days of smile on the outside and die on the inside are done.
Exactly.
Please.
Valuable message.
You pardon?
It was such a valuable confirmation when I let it spew and everyone's going, "Yes, Christina, you let that out."
It's the truth though, because I see it all the time. People unconsciously, whether to their children or to their friends or to their partners, whoever, telling them, stop being so angry.
Right.
Oh, we need to cheer you up. Why are you being so sad? There's a fear around us being completely expressive, the whole gamut of emotions on the wheel of emotion, so to speak, that, I can understand, if someone, I had a good friend of mine tonight, she's having a tremendously difficult time with her daughter and some things, cysts in her daughter's brain. So we're talking some serious, serious issues here. And she got really upset with the doctor. And while she was talking to me, she was angry. She goes, "And I'm angry." And I was like, "Be angry. You have every right to be angry, no matter what the case." But what I told her is that I'm in a space, I was doing some alchemy work. And I was like, "I'm just not in the space to receive your anger," meaning to be able to listen to it. But that doesn't mean don't be angry.
Right.
Either be angry at the tree, call somebody who is open to listening to you. I would never say to her, because I wasn't in the space, don't feel that. I just had to communicate, at this moment in time, I can't be the recipient to help you get through it, because I'm in a creative mode and I don't want to create more anger in my life.
Right.
It was like, you have the right to be angry. And if we watch people all the time, I hear people subconsciously and unconsciously saying to people, don't be sad.
Right.
Why not be sad?
Well, yeah, it is a part of the human experience. And I think my training in expressive arts therapy really addresses that. How do you express all things in a contained or a container or a way that feels really good? So you're using a phone call, a walk, a talk to the tree, a drawing, a dance.
Yes.
So that's what I found in the insights, that, this is an expressive outlet. This is a writing piece for me that I could. It's okay. It's actually safe. I'm not actually spewing my crap onto everyone. I am creatively putting it somewhere. I think that's what I have learned through the work with Sophia and my therapy work, is how do you let that emotion, whatever it is, have expression in a way that is healing because you let it out, but it doesn't hurt people when people can't handle it.
Exactly. Exactly. And because people often think, you know, anger is affiliated with somebody else being hurt.
Right.
And that is an unconscious way to, in other words, what if it, two things used to happen with me. Either I stuffed my anger.
Right.
Or the word that comes to mind is I blamed my anger
right.
on somebody or something else. When I, if I own my anger, I can be angry and nobody gets hurt and I'm still expressing it because I use all the words that clearly show I'm taking responsibility for it.
Exactly.
I am angry. I am feeling miserable. You know, I've often said to my friends, it's up to you. Do you want to hang out with me right now? Because I'm a loose cannon.
Right.
And
right.
you know, there could cannonballs will fly. And I have several warrior friends in my life that are like, I'm cool, Goldie, you know, blow.
Right. Yeah. No, it's great to ask for permission. And also I think it's the understanding where the anger comes from. So maybe your friend with the doctor, the ability to maybe write a crazy letter, whether you give it to him or not, but expressing that anger towards the doctor. I think knowing where your anger comes from and expressing it towards that thing. Mine was last week was just in life, this planet stinks. But besides that, I think a lot of times we have particulars that if we're able to take it into a particular format, so the person that we are angry at or the thing we're angry at, if we find an expression where we can express that, where we let it out, then by the time we're ready to see that doctor again, we will clearly be able to speak that we're unhappy without spewing on them as well. So,
absolutely. Great advice. Great advice.
We got to really tell people when we're unhappy, and it's how do you do that when you're filled with anger, when you're filled with shit. Well, we got to let it out someplace that's safe so that, you know, when you're speaking it, because really I think a lot of times, especially in that relationship with doctors, it's about how do we find that common ground. You know, you come from one perspective, I come from another. How do we meet in the middle somewhere?
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and still respect each other.
Exactly, and I find you gotta work doctors with that. Hey, come over to my side over here.
Yeah, well, did you ever see the movie Patch Adams?
Oh, I loved that movie. Yeah.
What? How telltaling? I mean, we really raise our doctors. You know, that they have what I call God complex, but not necessarily in the. In the healthy expansion way.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Big egos, boy. The big, big, big egos. So indeed. Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. It's crazy these days.
Well, I mean, and it is, from what I sense, it's not going to slow down. I mean, we are literally hitting speeds of consciousness that we have to, there is new navigation systems that we have to learn how to surf this.
Yeah. I think that's one of the big, we just were talking to a radio host the other day, and one of her biggest concerns were, I think my listeners feel unsafe right now based on all these changes that are going on. And I think that's one thing that Sophia, I'm sure she'll talk about tonight, is the ability, how as intuitives, when we really know that we're headed towards 2012, changes on the planet, how do we find our safety when the world is in a mass awakening? And as we all know, awakenings aren't pretty, right?
Mine haven't been. I mean, maybe, because I get the feeling the children seem different. I don't think their awakenings will be quite as harsh and...
Right.
Because it really seems like they were born awake, and I believe we were all born awake, but I don't get the sense that they're not going back into at least as deep a sleep as I did anyways.
Yeah, well, the children are definitely, I imagine we'll all be looking towards the children for advice as we get deeper into all of this, but I imagine that awakening is for, you know, the mass consciousness who have created a life for themselves, you know, are living in a very normal or typical way, and things are about to get very abnormal and very atypical, and, you know, how do people deal with all of that? So,
yeah, yeah.
And one thing I've noticed, my goodness, especially in Los Angeles, is the driving out there is chaotic. Like, people are, like, every time I go out driving, I feel like people are losing their grips on that. Like, that's where they're letting that expression come out on the highways.
Really?
Yeah, it's been insane. So I've been doing protective bubbles. I've been creating pathways and really looking at when you get into big collective groups, how is it showing itself? And that driving, I think a lot of times people use driving as an expression, so that, you know, switching of lanes, the,
yeah,
know,
yeah, yeah, totally,
cutting people off and all of that. So it's been really interesting to drive around and be like, are people, like, forgetting how to drive? Like, what's going on?
Well, so, because I always think to myself, because I tell all my friends, because of my nanning and stuff, I have a lot of, like, younger friends that are just coming into driving and just getting their licenses and stuff.
Yeah.
I tell them the safest thing you can do as a driver is create as much space between you and the other cars that you can.
Exactly.
Because if something happens for them, your greatest safety is avoidance.
Yeah.
And if you're right on their tail, the odds are you become part of their mistake.
Ah, such a good metaphor right there, right?
It is, isn't it? I didn't even realize I was saying that. When I talk to you and Sophia, everything tends to be metaphor.
Like, wow, don't get too close. Don't become their mistakes. That's brilliant.
Oh, wow, Chris, I didn't even hear that until you said that. I mean, because I'm genuinely talking about the car, because my whole instinct tells me, I'm vigilant about being, or diligent about being in conscious awareness.
Right.
I mean, my breathing and my, you know, my whole life, that's just, or at least my whole life at this point, meaning every moment in my life is a walking meditation. This is, I love it. This is who I am. But I want to be, it's like, because I used to say, well, I can be super sensitive and predetermine when someone was going to move without a blinker or,
right,
you know. And then it started hitting me, well, why do I have to expel the energy on them when all I have to do is put space between me and them and I can enjoy the bliss of my own awareness without expelling the energy of I have to be diligent on knowing what you're going to do to avoid the ultimate, you know, potential collision.
Yeah. No, it's a really great lesson in terms, especially how we, you know, sensitives tend to feel what's coming so that we're always kind of dodging, avoiding. I love that. Create more space so you don't have to play that dodge game. That's great.
Yeah, thank you for I'm going to actually use that. I'm going to use my own thing completely different than I used it. That's hot. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
Really such a metaphor of what, you know, we do out there in the world, how to create more distance and space between everyone, I think is a really good move these days, not as a not being compassionate, but being more compassionate. I think the more you can distance yourself, you witness someone in a way that opens your heart versus if you're in their space, you tend to go in there with them, and that's not always helping, I think. As everyone's going up and down, I think the best thing we can do is witness it all with compassion and trust, and I think that's usually done with a car length distance, right?
Exactly. I mean, and you know what's amazing is what you just said. I mean, I've got three particulars in my life, and it's like, yep, that works there, that works there. You know, it really is, to some degree, a panacea.
Mm.
And I'm usually going, there's always, you know, never say everyone, don't speak generally, you know, everything is unique. But I think as we pull back, the bigger picture does become more general.
Yeah.
In other words, for my own stalking of self, it's very much a part about the details. Mm-hmm. But to allow another to go through their experiences in the divine way that they choose to go through it, making their choices and their decisions and experiencing whatever, you know, the cause and effect is of that, my greatest compassion is the panacea of just allow it, Goldie.
Right, exactly. And trust in them.
And trust. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a definite challenge when, you know, at times we jump in there, we get a little too close, and then we feel things like, oh, you could avoid that bump in the road, where maybe really for them it's most important for them to go over that bump. So that stepping back and trusting, hey, man, you're going to be just fine as you go over that bump, I think.
Yeah, yeah, this is literally therapy. What you have to, it's literally apropos to many things happening in my life, so namaste. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's fabulous. Well, I think especially based on the car stuff out here, that the more I can see the metaphors in it, the easier it is for me to get out there in the chaos and not be terrified. I mean, I'm at the stage where I'm like, here, John, you drive.
Right.
I'm nervous. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's interesting. And I think based on some of the responses I've gotten about how this summer has tended to be pretty hard for people, I think what I am sensing is that I think we're tapping into the fact that the collective is going, like the economy going down and everything that's
right.
happened, that the collective is going to go through hardships. And I think I keep on saying to myself, it's okay that they're in hardships. I can be in the opposite. I don't have to be in hardships with them. I can actually be in a blissful life right now, and that's not being mean. That's not me being not compassionate. So it's kind of that reminder to let people go into the dark, because I've already been to the dark, you know.
That's it, yeah.
I'm ready to come out of that tunnel. So.
Well, and it's the truth, because the whole darkness ultimately becomes the resistance to the change.
Right.
I mean, the darkness is the change, but the resistance is what will determine long, short, easy, hard, and that's always personally experienced.
Exactly. So everybody that's listening, I really think that one of the things I've been trying to say to myself lately, it's okay to be light when everyone else is heavy right now. And it's okay, even though I've been heavy, but I think a lot of it is about picking up collective as well. So if I can create that distance between myself and the collective and say, you know, it's really okay for my life to get better, when maybe other people's lives are getting worse. And why am I judging better, worse? It just all is.
Exactly. Because God knows for me, you know, when I had my awakening, that was 14 years ago, the conscious, like the dark side of the moon. I mean, boy, I went to a severely ugly space. I mean, like, you know, and it's like I really do find myself trying to, especially my younger friends.
Right.
Trying to guide them, you know, into a space, and I mean genuinely recognizing that it is I that becomes that darkness to them by not allowing them to just go where their hearts desire to go,
right.
Dangerous or otherwise, that is not my space to quote-unquote control.
Exactly.
It is exactly like you said, it is my, in the wisdom I have now to apply the compassion that, if you know, when you're done, if you need a hand up, I'm here.
Right. Yeah, that trust and that compassion. And I keep on going back to images like Jesus or Sananda or Saint Germain, where I keep on saying, well, a master never needs anything to be different. A master can be in any scenario and completely trust what's going on. A master doesn't need you to heal. A master doesn't need you to be better. So I've been using that as a way of saying it's okay to not try and help or change or adjust the room, that I can just sit here and say all that's unfolding is perfect.
Chris, absolutely powerful. I'm telling you, I'm glad that we do the half an hour with me and you. You're really a powerful human being.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You're
oh,
welcome.
A little bit has rubbed off from Sophia, right? I can't be the challenge of Sophia without...
Yeah, but listen, we've talked about this before. You can know it in your head and you can live it in your being.
Right.
The living it in your being is all you. I mean, Sophia can offer the advice. If you don't walk it,
right.
Then because, and that's what I tell people, you know, all the time. The wisdom is one thing if you're reading it in the books, and it's wonderful to have it. It's what I even call the first step of change, is to know that there's something to change into, in the sense of if you're afraid.
Right.
We can garnish knowledge and wisdom that talks to us about compassion. But if you want your life to change, you will indeed have to embody the compassion.
Exactly.
Yes.
I think that's why I'm actually a perfect channel for Sophia, in that I actually learn by doing, because I trained as a dancer. So you can show me something. So even something as simple as like cutting an onion, you could talk me through it, but I'm the type that actually has to do it from my body-based training. So I found that, you know, that is a lot of how she teaches, which is very different from a lot of other channel beings. She tries to teach through the embodiment. Let's do an activity together.
Yeah.
Let's actually touch our hearts. Let's work with our hands. And I think that really reminds us to embody exactly what you're saying, the wisdom, versus just be so intellectual about it.
Well, because I hear intellectual people speak all the time, and I'm like, and how's your life going? And, you know, their life is falling apart. And what they're doing is stuffing the emotions down.
Right.
Stuff, because everything's love. I love, love, love everything. And it's like, you don't have to love. You're allowed. See, anger to me, it was taught to me, but I really see it. Anger is my desire to change my environment or change my situation. And it's not that the anger changes it, but the anger shows me I need change right now. What is happening right now first triggers my anger, then in my solitude and in my stillness and in my silence, the answers start coming of, oh, okay, so make a different choice.
Exactly.
Choose differently, Goldie, and you'll make it, and you won't be angry anymore.
Right. I know. I find it so funny that choose differently piece. That's the piece that always comes back to say that there's a choice here. That, and once you can get to that place, then you usually can make that transition out of being angry or upset into something else when you recognize there is a choice.
Yes.
It's a hard thing to remember, though, sometimes.
It is, because our conditioning basically says if we feel we have no choice, that's totally victim consciousness.
Right. Right.
And that is, in my personal opinion, the greatest leap in consciousness we have right now on the planet happening is from victim consciousness to creator consciousness.
Exactly, exactly. And it's so funny. Recently, I went and I was visiting a friend. And, you know, I have, as an intuitive and as a channel, I have weird things happen to me all the time. So stuff kind of happens wherever I go. People sent Sophia, things go on, and she kept on saying to me, wow, life is so hard for you, it's so hard, and I kept on saying, no, it's not, if I choose to think it's hard, then I am being a victim,
yeah.
So I kept on saying back to her, please don't call me a victim, because I've spent my whole life saying, no, I am not a victim, I am a co-creator in whatever experience just happened, so,
yeah.
I love that. We got to all remember to not choose those victim roles, and especially when other people are asking you to do it. I'm like, no way.
Yeah, well, anytime you deal with the police or something like that, and they're like, are you the victim of this kind of, you know, it's like,
right.
No, I'm not. Actually, I'm a co-creator of this crime. I need to look at that.
You get locked up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I just want you to know a woman named Mary Ain in the chat room. She wrote that Christina has such a calming presence.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I wrote back. I go, yes, she does.
That's so lovely. Thank you. I totally appreciate that.
Yeah.
I actually do a lot of running of light prior to any program. So I actually think about all the listeners, and I work out with the violet flame kind of lift any collective or any stuff off of listeners, and then I work with me and you, usually the host, whoever that is, kind of looking to create that heart-to-heart connection so that the whole community can feel that heart piece.
Well done. Well, you do a great job, because I know every time you're here, you as well as Sophia, I always, you know, I hang up and I go, okay, that was a great show.
Yeah. No, we have fun together.
We
have great fun together. So thank you to that listener. I appreciate it. And a lot of times I share that because a lot of times it really works in whatever scenario. So if you're going into a friend or a family, if you run the flame, a lot of people feel that sense of calm because there's a piece of you that had to prepare prior to getting there. And then you're lifting off any old or any built-up energy. So it does create a more peaceful environment. So I offer it as a tool because it actually works.
Yeah, well, exactly. Intention with everything, if we go into life consciously, work.
Yes.
That's the whole idea, that we are co-creators and creators of this experience.
Exactly.
You know, the consciousness part of it brings it in. Because, you know, it's funny. Because, I mean, you said for family, even imagine business meetings.
Yes.
For
the
corporate people, yeah. Because I would think there it's very much.
It's in your best interest in general. If people feel calm around you, then everyone relaxes and you get to the truth of the matter right away. And I find, especially in radio, there's such, like, pumped up energy. Oh, 5, 4, the countdown, the switchboard.
Yeah.
Crazy, you know. So I learned really quick doing radio shows. Oh, run light for like a half hour prior, and it calms and brings that like settling energy in. So
outstanding. I set intentions. My intention before a show is that whatever we speak of, someone in the listening audience, whether present or in the, you know, the future, it will deeply move a sense into a shift for them that, you know, they just ultimately go, wow, I just needed to hear that.
Yeah. Well, really, the last time we were together, that 2 months ago, that incredible piece you did with Sophia, I really have gotten a lot of emails and a lot of responses on how people were really touched by the profound healings that went on.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
oh,
I had people
nice.
Coming out of the woodwork just saying, I just felt so lifted, and that really this sexual tension energy, you know, abuse
yes.
and all of that.
Yes.
It was so powerful. So your intentions work. And
thank you.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Really. Ooh, amazing. I didn't say that on your air yet, so it's official. Like, wow, you and Sophia, I thought were just really amazing in that I felt like it was a huge collective healing that went on. And then, oh, I don't know if I have shared it with you, but after the show, I actually had to have John come and help me walk because I was shaking, and I sat down. And I said, what's going on? And Sophia said, oh, there was a big, huge planetary healing that we just did. And so I had this confirmation about that you guys did some amazing work. So.
Wow, Chris, I did not. I remember John sending me an email because I think that was when we just decided that we were going to do Third Thursdays? Or
it was our first one.
Okay, exactly.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't know what was going on, but Chris was dramatically experiencing something after the show. I mean, and not from a fear state at all, but it was like just saying that there was tremendous energy and I was, you know, it's almost like it becomes an altered state. You intend it, but it's not like you think it logically to build it.
Right, exactly.
It is organic. It becomes, and because that was the first time I had ever talked about the molestation on the air, and it was so interesting because when the moment came with Sophia for me to share it, I literally was like, an inner sense just came to me and said, share it now.
Yeah.
And clearly Sophia's energy was there as a nurturing
right.
energy that it was going to be a safe space for me to share it. Little did I know it was going to be an earth healing experience. I honestly did not know that. I mean, that's just, that's hot.
Yeah, well, I wanted to share because how I know those stuff are real is through my body, because I've had several of those happen before where it's almost like the earth shakes through me, and so my shaking at the end is a way of my body responding to the types of healings you were doing together. So, I mean, I had to, like, get John and actually have him walk me into the other room. I had to pull out all of my tricks of the trade, eating my chocolate, trying to get back. But, you know, not afraid at all, but saying something profound just happened and then really asking Sophia to fill in the details, which she said between the two of you and all of the listening audience that the type of energy that was fed in really lifted a big burden off of the planet. And I really felt that as true. And whether or not we have other evidence of that, I mean, I have trusted over and over again, and especially when I have physical sensations, that I really trust that that is true.
I trust that that is true, too, because I'm working with this type of ideology
yes.
with other masters as well. I mean, that is what – because part of what's happening in the ascension is not just that we are becoming aware that we are all literally connected, but that in one of us healing, all of us become healed.
Exactly.
You know, so it is, it's like, because it's almost like it unfolds itself. The wisdom of the oneness unfolds itself, how truly profound it is becoming from, you know, from a point of view of still kind of being, you know, in the dream, so to speak, but not.
Right.
You know, it really is profound.
Yeah. Amazing. I love it.
I do, too.
I think it's profound, especially on air as well, because a lot of times you find programs where, there's so much energy being fed into radio that the pace is so quick, people are really packing a lot of information in, so to take time and slow down, so incredible. And,
yeah.
You know, the whole piece on air, I think it really just reminds us all to slow down and let those moments happen, that they're there for us if we just slow down a tiny bit and let them happen.
That's what's so interesting. Slowing down when consciousness speeds up is perfect. You know, because it's like if you're unconscious, it's very easy to become hurried.
Right.
Because there is a momentum that is genuinely zipping around like, you know, what was a ricochet rabbit?
That's
what I remember. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. Ricochet rabbit. And yet if we breathe, sit still, have some silence, the answers are so, they're deep down the rabbit hole. Because I'm finding my answers that really make a difference in my life are not from the horizontal. They're not from moving forward. They're from sitting still and going deep.
Right, totally, exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's I always pay attention to what I do right before a radio program. So today I made myself a nice, relaxing cup of tea.
And you know, I knew that when you were drinking, I went, I'm craving tea. And I go, she must be drinking tea. I swear to God. I was going to say, are you enjoying your tea? I don't know. But it's the connection you intended with us.
Exactly. And I think that maybe like in business and things in general, like what can we bring to the table, even if it's this tiny little cup of tea that tells you to relax, or any tiny thing that you can look at that's the reminder of how do I settle into all of this and let it unfold. I think, and for me, that's really profound on radio because, again, it's usually hyped up for me. So to really relax prior, I mean, I do all of that intention, but with you, it's kind of easy. So I get to really pull out the tea, light the incense. And,
yeah,
you know,
definitely.
I go a little overboard, but it's fun that way.
Well, right, and it truly is the tools of this age and this time.
Yeah.
They are the tools.
Yeah, and for some reason, I don't know, the cup of tea sitting in a business meeting, I don't know. For some reason, I start, like, seeing things that translate to the regular world, how to, you know, bring our weird, intuitive world bridging into the other worlds, that we still have our practices that remind us to be intuitive, even if we're in supposedly non-intuitive environments. So.
I mean, which is so funny, because I can remember having a conversation with my father, who is an avid stock person. He's not a stockbroker, but he plays in that field. And it's like, you know, and he would be like, you know, he doesn't know what I'm talking about half the time. But I told him, I was like, when I listened to him tell his stories, I was like, intuitiveness is such a gift, whether you're trying to choose a stock, whether you're trying to choose an office manager, whether you're whatever you're doing. Intuitiveness is the gift to know more than that which is shown through your five senses, which we clearly have that ability as the physical animal species to do and to have. How could that not be welcomed in any scenario?
Right.
That's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, it's been trained out of us, but I think it's there anyways. I mean, I think most people just don't notice it. I notice how I go into environments where people would call, you know, the last word they would ever use to describe themselves as sensitive. Yet I see people showing themselves to make choices out of, I had a gut instinct. So they use words which say they're using intuition. They just don't call it that.
It's the masculine formation of the same thing. That's exactly right. You know, gut.
Right.
Yeah, I can say gut, but sensitive? No, I don't want to say I'm sensitive. But you're right. So because I don't think you could be successful if you're not using it, no matter what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so online right now. We are, and that's what I believe a lot of it is happening. So many of our non-physical gifts are coming online, and it's tipping people, it's tilting them.
Right.
Because, and it's the gift, but it's not understood as the gift, because at first it's just an intensity that they, you know, they're like, what the heck is this? What is this? And it's usually coming through in intense feelings, intense
right.
emotions,
right.
where that clearly has been culturally conditioned out of, it. Clearly the men, but and in all honesty, many of the women who are corporate have also conditioned the emotions
right.
out of them.
Right, right.
Just to survive, you know, in the doggy dog world.
Right, right, exactly. I think it's interesting to be able to, when people are having strong emotional responses, that we're able to bridge, you know, what's, because most times I find when people are, because people tend to actually let their stuff hang out with me all the time, I imagine, because I'm a safe person.
I was just about to say safe, yes,
I'm
definitely.
Safe, and so, and I can usually pull through it, so instead of taking it personally, I can kind of look at what's the message here, what's happening here.
Okay.
So I think that as intuitives, a lot of times people are going to show us more and more emotions as their own way of asking for us to see what's going on, the message inside of it. And so I think that's hard to bridge out in the world, but that we really can. It just brings up to mind, I was out to dinner the other night, and this man came up to me and said, I don't know what's going on with my wife, but she feels like she knows you. Is your name so-and-so? I know that you're not the person she thinks. And I said, no, that's hold on. And I looked at everyone at the table. I said, oh, this is a Sophia thing. So I go up to the woman, and she said, I don't know why. Why do I feel like I know you? Something's happening to me. So she's clearly emotional.
Right.
And I say to her, well, you know, I actually work in the intuitive world. I'm not sure if you know what mediumship is or channeling. I'm a channel. And all of a sudden she goes, and she says, oh, my God, it's the 3-year anniversary of my mother's death.
Oh, wow. I just got a chill when you did that shriek.
Yeah, and she
wow.
really went, ah. And at the time, we were actually out to dinner celebrating, you know, John's mom's crossing, so we
right.
were there for a crossing.
Wow.
And so I turned to her and said, listen, I said, you know, this is your mom. Your mom asked you to come to the table. This is a real reflection that you're intuitive, that you have mediumistic skills, that your mother is talking to you all the time, and you can hear her, or you wouldn't have come to our table. You wouldn't have searched me out. And she, like, tears are running down her face. She's hugging me.
Chris, that's just outstanding.
Yeah, well, it was intense emotion that I just stuck with it and said, let me help her interpret this, because obviously something's happening, and it must be connected to the intuitive world, or it wouldn't be happening right now. So.
Right, right. Outstanding.
Yeah.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah, it was very, very cool. And it was funny, we actually happened to be sitting with James Van Praagh, who is a really famous medium.
Yes.
We're out to dinner, so I'm like, if you want proof, I'm like, that is a famous medium right there. I'm like, you cannot get bigger proof than that. And I'm like, she didn't know who he was, but I'm like, go home and Google him. Like, if you want evidence that you're a medium, like, I mean, you can't get a bigger name other than John Edwards sitting in this room right now. So
exactly.
She was really blown away. And I think that's it in terms of us being intuitive. People are showing themselves and maybe asking us to be a little bit of a detective, asking us to figure it out if it's easy enough. You know, it wasn't a lot of effort there.
Right, right. Well, but and I think it's part of that you're willing to speak it. You know, because I remember when you were first doing the YouTubes and said, I'm going to start letting people see who I am.
Oh, I know. This has been a journey for me. Well, I'm much better in public when it's not so many people are looking at me at once. I mean, that was...
Oh, I see. Okay.
Fun, you know?
Okay. Right. Because I was like, well, there it is. You actually showed yourself in public. But I see what you're saying as opposed to being spotlighted.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
On the like World Wide Web, where everyone says, "Is that girl crazy?"
Oh, we're all crazy in our own loving way.
I have stretched so much this year, and I want to thank you because you're a big part of me stretching and saying it's part of what's happening, just people coming out and sharing that this is who I am, and also sharing that I'm afraid of being judged. And I think that has brought a lot of people up saying, oh, my God, I'm afraid to tell the world who I am. So
yes, yes.
I'm getting better, and thank you, everyone who's encouraged me to keep going.
You're a beautiful example of life birthing itself through trust.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I feel Sophia coming.
Oh, Sophia. Yeah, the chat room. I'll be honest with you, though, the chat room loves us. That's why I was like, at first it was like, we have to get Sophia on. But I'll be honest with you, you're exquisite, my friend. And I really consider it's like a double, I've double booked. I get Christina and I get Goddess Sophia every third Thursday.
That's the joke that we make out in the world, two ladies for the next one.
Exactly.
We joke with my husband all the time. He's got his handful with two ladies.
Well, it was so wonderful having Christina on the show. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I'll leave you guys. I can already feel Sophia saying, hey, push over. Here I come.
Okay, welcome. Bring her on.
Good, and hello, my friend. It is Sophia. Excited to be with you today, yes?
Oh, hello, Sophia. Always, always a pleasure to be with you as well.
The reason I, let us say, said to Christina, let's create some room, for there was a piece of wisdom I did not want to miss out on. So do you mind if we jump right in?
Of course not, please.
Good. So let's look at the example, this story she told about someone coming up to her having extreme emotionality right now. I really want to share to all of the listening audience that is going to be more and more of your reality. That is why people are feeling unsafe, because as you spoke about earlier, you're afraid of getting shit on, yes? The shit is flying, yes?
Yes, definitely.
Good. So what we want to do metaphorically today is we want to put on our raincoat, we want to put on our galoshes, we want to pull out our umbrellas and say, we will not get hit by the shit that's flying. Instead, we are going to offer information about why it's flying. And once you know why it's flying, then it stops flying.
So true, my friend.
Good. And so I want everyone today to hear the story of publicly someone having emotionality that seems to be directed at you. So I want everyone to think in restaurants, in post offices, in grocery stores, that you might see that all of a sudden you're in the middle of bursts of energy, people revealing, showing themselves. And what I want to ask is that you get grounded. Remember, you got your raincoat on, you got your umbrella, and you say, what is the message here? What is the purpose here? Because every single person listening is a messenger. So what is the message here? And you will find that by sharing the message, now you might not always be able to do it, but by sharing the message, all that energy calms down and people begin to see that wisdom is always revealed through the kindness, sometimes of a stranger, through the kindness of another who becomes grounded in times of chaos. Does that make sense?
Oh, that's a beautiful sense indeed.
Good. So again, just prepare for it, my friends. Out in public, you may find yourself in the middle of stuff. And the universe is asking you that you are prepared, that all you have to do is settle down and say to the universe, what is the message? And if it is easy for you to share, go right ahead. And many of you are going to start to feel empowered as you do this, because you will no longer be afraid of the chaos that is going on out there, because you will realize you will only come across small bits of chaos that are meant for you to share wisdom inside of.
So there is, like, to to some level a law of attraction, what is coming towards us is that which we have the wisdom to share.
Yes.
Or to bring insight to.
Yes, exactly. So why it's coming towards you, it's testing you. Do you have your raincoat on, right?
Okay.
It's a test because what's happening is only going to get larger on a bigger scale. So let's say shit happens or shit flying right now, it's only going to get bigger. And it doesn't mean that any of the intuitives that have already done your spiritual work, which majority have done already 80% of your spiritual, working with the dark, working with the hidden, working with the smelly. So your test right now is to say, will you get out of the way or put on the proper protective advice? Yes, devices, excuse me, and then ground yourself that in any scenario that energy is flying, there is an opportunity for you to not get hit by it and instead bring forth the wisdom.
Outstanding.
Good.
Outstanding.
So first lesson, don't start giving out wisdom until you got your galoshes on, yes, until you got your raincoat on. Because wisdom, when you are covered in all of that, will not sound any different than everyone else because you'll smell like everyone else in the room, right?
Okay, so can you help in some offer? What is, metaphorically, is the galoshes? How does someone put on galoshes? What would they be doing?
Good. So you say before you go out in public, I will not, yes, get hit by anyone else's energy. So like it's raining out, I'm not going to get soaking wet with someone else's depression, with someone else's anger, with someone else's, let's just keep using the word shit here because it's really
apropos.
Exactly right now. It really works.
Yes.
So really why I use the raincoat, the umbrella, the boots, is to really say that's what you need out in the world these days, because wherever you're going, there is energy flying left and right, because it is everyone dealing with that they have covered up their crap. They have put it all away and have not looked at it. And now they're out in the world and there's no hiding anymore. So before they know it, stuff is flying out of their closet, and they are saying, where is that coming from? Well, you can't lock your closet anymore. You can't hide the doggy doo-doo away. It has to come out into the sunshine.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Good. So we can work with our bubble, but the reason I actually work with protective clothing is because it almost shields you in a way that I won't get hit by anything. You almost imagine putting that raincoat on or holding an umbrella, putting those shoes on. You really imagine yourself, I won't get wet with other people's stuff.
Yeah, that's very powerful because it's important to know it's not ours, isn't it?
Yes. So the bubble works, but it's so dramatic out there that it's hard to feel so protected in our bubble when there's so much happening left and right. So we still do our bubbles, but we put that protective stuff on so that when we have to really stand in line next to someone, we really have to be out dining next to someone, we really can feel that it does not touch upon us in a way that stirs us.
Right, definitely.
Good. Yeah. Thank you. That is why I had to come through right away and say to everyone, yes,
yeah, no, that's
put on your protective clothing and offer wisdom. Because it's so exciting to take the test to the next level. Not only do you not pick people's stuff up, but then you offer a truth that's so apparent. And most times it's apparent. It's really easy. It's right in front of you because that's why you're drawing it in. Because right now in the beginning, everybody, we're in the beginning. You want to put in front of you scenarios that's easy for you to speak truth, that's easy for you to share wisdom. It will get harder as we go along. But in the beginning, you're always going to get the easy scenarios, easy, easy, easy as pie, because it's difficult to speak up. So you don't want the message to be hard to speak up because it's hard enough to just speak, right?
So is that literally in the divine plan?
Ah, it is in the plan. Yes, good for you for asking. Yes, it is part of the unfoldment of saying, how do you walk in a place that truth is something you're not afraid of. So really, a master is never afraid of speaking truth. He's not worried, how are you going to perceive that truth? Is that truth going to be upsetting to you? What's going to happen? A master knows that truth always is welcome in any environment, whether people consciously know that or not. Truth is always safe. And safe in a sense that truth can't be changed. Truth is truth, right?
Right, right.
So what we are getting as intuitives is opportunities to speak truth, because that's what you're leading up to. You want to be able to walk on this planet and not be afraid to be your truth, hour to hour, yes?
Yes,
minute to minute, second to second.
Yes.
Good. Breath to breath.
Yes.
Good. So that is in the divine plan. How do we unfold scenarios that let you practice speaking truth?
Oh, wow. That is so exquisite. I never saw it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing that way, it just opens up this when you hear the angels sing?
I do, yeah.
I know you do too. That's what that, like, it just explains the times in such a simple truth.
Yes, yes. And it's very different, because truth for awakened ones, and yes, everyone is awake to a scenario, but we are going to only call about 20% of your population awake to energy right now. So for the ones that are awake, speaking truth is going to be a gentle process. Those that are awakening are trying to take off the shackles of other people's truths. All the intuitives that are listening, you have taken off a majority of your shackles. You are no longer bound by your family, by your friends, by your mother's thought of you. And that is usually a big one for people, their mother's thought of them and how they be in the world. You have undone all of those shackles. So that your truth is not, get me out of this, unburden me. Your truth is, breathy, grounded. It doesn't take effort because you've already done the effort.
Wow, that's exquisite.
So what you want to look at in terms of chaos out there, you want to see people trying to unshackle themselves. That's what's going on. So that in your economic system, there is a lot of people being shackled down by Wall Street, by people running away with money, managing money where no one could see what was going on. So that people are trying to unshackle themselves from all different types of systems that don't serve them because truths are hidden.
Right.
So in your government, you are trying to pull away the veils and say, what is behind there? I don't want to be shackled by the government anymore. So when you see the chaos, when you see the shit flying, say it's flying because people are trying to get out of their shackles. People are trying to free themselves, and they're angry. They're really angry that they have been... they have allowed themselves to be shackled.
Yeah, it's an anger itself, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we have all gone through it. Yes, we all get angry when we realize that we are in a box, in a small box, then we are in shackles, we are in chains. You get angry because that's the only way you get out of it.
Exactly. I agree 100%.
Yes, and that is where you started today. Sharing your anger is always a motivating action to change, a call to action. Let me utilize this anger to remind me this is a call to action. I must shift something. I must change something.
Absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely. I love the way you express this, so I love it. It's just... it's clear, it's concise, and it's just beautiful.
Thank you. And we use these metaphors or these images because your world is full of imagery.
Right.
So if you can actually see the raincoat I'm talking about, if you can see the...
I see yellow with splashes of brown.
Of course you see yellow. You have those ducky things on, right? You look like the
I've been a nanny way too long. Yes, indeed.
Well,
indeed.
That's what we love about you. Yes,
indeed.
If you would take a majority of the people listening, they would have a more clear color on. Yet I love that yellow. That let's go and be a duck outside. Yes, those yellow boots, the little hat you put on.
Exactly what I got.
Let's talk about the wisdom in that, beloved. So let's talk about yellow being the color of the solar plexus in terms of the chakra system, and that you're extremely sensitive to outside energy. So if you surround yourself in a bright yellow energy, you say no energy of others is going to get into my solar plexus.
Oh, wow. That's hot.
Yes. So again, we translate your images because they're important. And to everyone listening, create the images in your mind because they do work. And you'd be surprised that they're working on many levels. So you laugh. Oh, yes, I am choosing the duck. Yes, the yellow duck. Yes. At the same time, it's serving you in three different levels. Yes.
Yes.
So let's talk about the three. We got the solar plexus, yes?
Yeah.
We got the child energy coming out so that you walking down the street like that, you would smile at people, almost click your heels together, yes?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
And say, let's play.
Let's
and
jump in the puddles.
Exactly. And what do you imagine is the third level? Why would you choose this yellow? What's the third level? You might not know right away, but see if you can let the third unfold. Solar plexus, childlike, and what's the last thing in terms of you being out in the world and not being slimed by people?
The visual that comes to me, I don't know, the sun.
Thank you, beloved. Bringing sunshine to the shit, yeah? Yes, you already talked about it, the yellow with the stuff on you, that when you shine light on crap, it turns into dust. It eventually disappears. It goes away. It dries out.
And it flies away. Wow.
Yes, there's always three levels. Most times when we think we are making something up, there's usually three different levels why you're choosing that particular image. So I always suggest that you choose your own image because your own image is going to touch upon the three different levels that are personal, emotional, mental, physical, yes? So I offer the tool as a spiritual tool, but as a third dimensional being, it's up to you to shape that tool that is personal to you.
That's just exquisite.
Good. And this is the fine-tuning of working with Sophia. People say to me, oh, Sophia, the bubble doesn't work. Well, have you changed the bubble? Have you shifted it? Have you made the bubble your own? Oh, no, I'm just working with the exact bubble you worked with me in a private session. Well, we have to shift it up. We have to keep changing it. Oh, I'm just working with the bubble I heard you do on air. All right, well, make it your own.
Indeed.
The moment you make it your own, then you have not only a spiritual tool, an emotional tool, a mental tool, yes?
Yes.
And that physical tool.
Yeah, that's exquisite. Yes. Well, because I think there's a part about making it our own. That is about the ownership of creator, you know, becoming the creator.
Exactly. Exactly.
As opposed to just yet another aspect of the soldier, so to speak, that even if it's listening to spiritual people, if you're not owning the information energetically, you're still not you're not popping into the quantum leap of consciousness.
Exactly. You're taking someone else's truth and trying to make it your own, and it never works.
Right.
Yes, it never works. Information, wisdom is always individual. There are truths that are across the board, but how we translate them are individual.
Yes.
Yes.
I want to open up. I mean, between you and Chris, I could talk to both of you guys all night. And we have a very busy chat room. I want everybody to know questions, definitely. If you can't call in, Trish is not here, my chat room monitor, but I have the chat room up now, and Sophia will take your questions, and if you want to call in and actually speak them on the air, you can dial 646-929-2084. And when the prompt tells you, hit the button 1, so it puts a little hand up, and I know you want to come on the air. What I'm going to do real quick, though, is I have to do a promotional video, audio. So we're at the top of the hour. I'm just going to play the promotion, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to take questions from everybody out there. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned. And we just have to be quiet because we're still on the air.
Almeen's classes have no curriculum or specific format. There are no predictable topics. The reason is that this remarkable mystic provides an unparalleled transfiguring experience, most certainly not to be encountered anywhere else on Earth. Almeen has been given the most sacred task of assisting the infinite to usher in Earth's ascension. Everyone in these classes share in executing assignments from the infinite. Information beyond students' wildest dreams pours in, and those who enter the classes as students leave as masters who have silenced the dialogue of their minds. To learn more about this amazing mystic and teacher, visit www.spiritualjourneys.com. Almeen will be in New York on Friday, September 11th through Sunday, September 13th, 2009. For more information on how to register for this profound class and for hotel accommodations, visit www.almeeninnewyork.com. That's almeeninnewyork.com. Or call Golden Hawk at area code 203-847-5787. Music provided by Music Alley from Mevio. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Yay! Thank you, everybody, for being so patient while I did that. Thank you, Sophia, for being patient. And, okay, if anybody's got a question, I know Candy D had a question. There it is. Okay. Candy D would like to know, is there free will?
Grand question.
Indeed.
Yes. There is a lot of free will. That is why you come here, is to make choices. Yet let us talk about the contract you make prior to coming here. So let us say in some ways you have set up themes, you have set up scenarios, ideas around, I want to experience non-judgment. So what I will do is set up scenarios over and over again, which give me the possibility to judge people, which then give me the possibility to not judge them. So that free will is infused in the process of awakening to your themes, that you have every possibility available to you to discover and to dialogue with these themes. It can be played out 1,000 different ways, 100,000 different ways. Yet some things that are set in stone are the desire to know a particular quality of human experience. So you could say that an overall piece that you come here to remember or to experience is unconditional love, so that you will create many scenarios where you have conditional love so that you can open your heart to the opposite, unconditional love. So yes, beloved, you have free will always, yet you're always unfolding, yes, life circumstances to awaken to the themes of awakening to your totality here. So what you might look at are, what are the themes that I am working on in this lifetime? And with that, it will even open up that feeling that you have this free will or this choice. You always have a choice to go right, left, up, down. That can feel something that empowers you and lets you say, how do I discover all of my themes and have a grand time while I'm doing it? Good. Thank you.
Now, I just want to say, she asked, but is it free if things go the way they are to go? Because I'm not thinking she's understanding the freedom is really in the reaction.
Freedom is always in the choice, that you always have a choice. So let's say when people say to me, oh, Sophia, this thing happened to me. Was it supposed to happen? I got into a car accident. I've always felt like I was going to get into a car accident, and I got into a car accident. Was I fated to do that? Did I have any choice in that? And let's say you might have said, I would like some sort of accident to wake me up. Does it mean it has to be a car accident? No. Does it mean that you have to choose accident once you get here? No. It means that you have put a plan, or you have said something like, I am going to travel to India. I think I am going to go to this place, this place, this place, this place. You create an itinerary, and you arrive, and you chuck that itinerary out, and you say, I'm just going to go with the flow. That's exactly what happens when you come to Earth. You have an itinerary that you say, I would like to follow this, 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 but most times that gets chucked out, and you just journey from place to place knowing that you wanted, you came here with a certain desire to awaken to an aspect of self or many aspects of self. So always there is choice, always.
Outstanding.
Does that make sense to you, Goldie?
That makes complete sense to me because I have heard something called destiny seeds. But destiny seeds are something, if we don't awaken almost by like the small breezes, then the destiny seeds will come into play where the hurricanes will come.
Exactly. So what happens is your higher self will say, so you're now going with the flow, right? You're not following the plan per se. You're going with the flow.
Right.
The higher self is going to say, oh, but you haven't. Yes, created a scenario yet. You haven't awakened to that piece. So let's keep on putting stuff in front of you that you will awaken. So the higher self puts little things, little things, little things until you're not paying attention. And it says, oh, okay, well, now we really need to get your attention because we have shown you, yes, all these scenarios to help awaken you and you haven't gotten it.
Right.
So that is where the big hurricanes, the big car accidents come in because you're actually choosing it on a soul level to awaken to some aspect of self.
Yeah. Now, do you feel that this lifetime is different than any other?
Yes, very much so. That everybody that is here right now wants to be here right now, in that what is unfolding here is unprecedented, actually, in terms of no one actually thought that Earth was going to go this far, that humans were going to forget for so long. So it's so exciting for it to have stretched out for so long that this is the grand finale, not that the theater is over, not that the piece is over, but it's going to come to a head where there will be a celebration afterwards, yes? The grand finale of the performance, meaning that we're all sitting watching the stage and agreeing that this is, you buy into that theater piece, yeah? So what happens is that's going to come to an end where you no longer think the movie or the theater, yes, that story you are watching is your reality anymore, and you all go and celebrate this finale of seeing things in a certain way.
Yes.
So you're really here on a huge, huge time, which says everyone that's here right now are considered, we have said this several times, the skydivers of the universe, in that you're the extremist.
Indeed.
Yes, you're all pumped up to say, bring me to that crazy planet and let's go there, bring the fireworks on, right?
It's so true, yes, indeed.
Exactly. So keep remembering every person, no matter whether it's that man on the street that society calls a beggar, remember that that person is a extremist. That person is a thrill seeker. That person is on Earth because they chose it. And that illusion of them being a beggar is something that they are choosing in terms of this big planetary awakening.
Yeah. Yeah, exquisite.
So that we look around and see our fellow humans as powerful beings that have choice. You're choosing to be here. You want to be here. You think here is pretty cool, even when you don't think that, right?
Right, Right. It definitely gets cooler as we become more aware of the truth. Well, I got to speak it from first person. Yeah. My life gets cooler as I become more aware that I'm the creator of it. And most people are like, you know, how could it become more cooler to know that I've created myself to be, you know, forget knee deep, you know, eyeball deep in shit. And I was like, it just seems like the beginning part when we wake up to the creator world, we're up to our eyeballs in it. But as we start working the processes, you start releasing the eyeball shit and you start putting on the raincoat. And it you can play in it but not become part of it. And it's not so heavy. But the initial awakening, because so many people are afraid to wake up and say, you know, are afraid to say, if I'm the creator, you know, I wouldn't be in this mess. And it's like, but indeed, you are in this mess and you are the creator. And the only thing that has to shift is that you realize it is you creating it.
Yes, there's a lot of power and a lot of fear in it. And I say that,
right.
let's take the shit into mud. So for a moment, let's think back to when we were kids. And we would have a ball getting dirty.
Yes,
right?
yes.
So think about all of the bad experiences as a form of getting dirty. And the reason why it's so exciting to know that you're the creator of getting dirty, why am I up to my eyeballs in mud? Because you really want to appreciate coming out of the mud, washing off the mud, putting perfume on, putting a beautiful dress on, and walking out in the world. You appreciate that beauty 1,000 times more because you have awakened in, yes, mud up to your ears, yes?
Yeah.
Where you say, wow, dirty is dirty. I can't wait to be clean.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I want to remind everyone there's great power in getting dirty, and there's no other place as dirty as your planet, yes, as forgetful as your planet. And there is great value in dirt. There's a lot of fun in the dirt.
There really is. There really, really, really is. I mean, I can remember, too, as a kid, literally, me and my brother having this little baseball game in the rain, in the backyard, sliding into home, kicking it up, and it was so, it's funny because my father came home, my mother, I don't know where she was, she just wasn't home that evening. My father came home from head to toe, literally covered in mud, and I mean, we were still young enough that, you know, he threw us in the bathtub. He was so upset with us that from head, and it's so funny because as we're talking about this, it's like, it's the beginning of the going to sleep when I got in trouble for being in mud from head to toe.
Exactly, exactly. It's not good to be dirty. Stay clean is what you're told, right?
Yeah, even at the risk of, what about all the fun we had? So, but that was so overlooked. It wasn't acknowledged at all.
Exactly, exactly. And this, the image you bring is connecting to everyone right now, remembering that as kids we loved getting dirty. That's what you're known for. You go out and you play. You got grass stains. You rolled around.
Yeah.
You've gone in the forest. You got cuts on your knees, and you don't care at all, right?
Exactly.
Not worried about your hair, your nails, about anything. Yes, boys don't care. Their elbows are all banged up. You fly off of that tree. You go running. You get dirty because it feels so good.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we literally must have been out there for a good 2.5-3 hours laughing, playing. Once we recognized the dirt and the mud, it became a new element to playing it. I mean, it was, we were purposely sliding, I just remember literally cracking up and then getting into so much trouble when my dad came home. I mean, like, it's just so interesting that this whole metaphoric is coming up right now.
Yes.
So interesting.
Well, let's really look at the dad right now as what we have the choice right now, that the dad, you have a choice right now to look at people that are playing in the mud. As much as it doesn't look like their children having fun,
right,
some part of them are having fun. So we have the choice. Do we choose to be the stern dad that says, bad, not good, go clean off? Or do we look at all of those that are covered in shit, that are dirty right now, and say, I bet on some level you're having a ball. Play away. Yeah?
Well, you know, as soon as we took it from shit to mud,
yes,
it made a big difference for me. I mean, I can clearly see that the people that I quote-unquote think I'm protecting are having a ball playing in their mud.
Exactly. And the reason we shift from shit to mud, because when you put the protective stuff on you, it's no longer smelly. It is only smelly, yes, when you're getting slimed, right?
Oh, my God, that's brilliant. I didn't write.
Yes, it's only crap when it's someone else's, yes, stink.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
When
yes.
you release someone else's stink, when you protect yourself, it just becomes mud. They're just playing in the mud.
Wow, that is so beautiful, my friend.
Good. And it's so beautiful you bring it up, because, again, those images are going to help people right now. So if everyone is listening, I want you to hear that images help you. Metaphors that are placed in images help you see the world clearly right now, because the world is very mixed up. So it asks us to pull it apart and see it for what it is.
Indeed.
Good. So we can now all see those little children playing in the mud and applaud them, say thank you, it's okay to be dirty, and to all of your friends you can say they're enjoying it.
Yes.
They are in making mud pies, yes?
Yes, totally. I mean, I literally feel this in my own experience. You have helped heal this for me tonight. Thank you.
Grand.
Thank you. It's grand. Because it literally is now, I've been having anger issues and not knowing why. Because I'm not afraid to express my anger, but it's just not a space I really want to live in. I mean, I'll have it, but okay, enough of it. I mean, and the key is about, it is that shift from being in the space that
yes.
we talked about, which is, you know, also the coat and the boots.
Yes.
And it is also the idea that the alchemy happens. See, it's an alchemy
yes.
that when my raincoat is on and I have space, it's the same situation. It just doesn't smell. And it literally goes from being shit to mud. And I can't tell you, as a nanny, I tell my moms all the time that I'm working with, you know, they're like, you know, I don't want the kids to get dirty. And I'm like, you know, I'm standing up there like a rebel going, you don't want your kids to get dirty. Well, if you don't want them to get dirty now, when are they going to get dirty?
Yes.
You know, it's like, come on, they're kids. And I tell them, you don't have to get dirty with them. Let me take them outside and get dirty with them, because I love rolling literally physically in the dirt. I love earth. Earth loves me, and
yes.
it's healing. It's like, I mean, so this whole perspective just went from being, you know, feces and toxic and prison-like to a playground and in a lighter, joyful experience.
And it is that for the one who is witnessing, the one that has enough distance.
Yeah. Yes.
To be able to not be in the stink, because for them, for the ones awakening, it is the toxins. It is the shit for them. It is the shackles.
Yes.
So let's not take that away from them, because it
right.
is that.
Okay,
but
I see.
Their experience, they are releasing toxins, they are taking the shackles off, yet from a universal truth, from a distance, from a witnessing, they're just playing in the mud.
Right. It's so simple. It's beautiful.
Yes. But let's say if you try and teach them that, if you try and say it's not toxic, because it is toxic. Only for you it's not toxic anymore, because
okay.
you've already gone through that. You've already
right.
gone through releasing your toxins. So for you, your stuff is mud, and you realize their stuff will eventually turn to mud, and the best thing for their stuff to turn to mud is for you to see it as mud, because it encourages them to release their toxins.
Absolutely. It's so perfect. I can't, and this is archived, my friend. This is outstanding work. We really do work well together. Me, you, and Chris, really, really work well together.
It is a dance, and really it is about co-creating with guidance that is not embodied right now. For there is a lot of guidance out there. So it is, how do you co-create where you do not give your power away? You don't say to me, Sophia, help, fix me. Instead, you say to your guidance, to your angels, let's chat. Let's have a conversation. Let's unfold wisdom. And that is how we will all sail through the awakening of this planet easily.
Rock and roll. Yes. Yes. Sophia, we have another question.
All right.
Because I feel that we kind of completed that. That was exquisite. Okay, this comes from Creative Things 10. When we dream of old friends, is that old events that need to be healed so you can move on?
Grand. Well, it is not always specific like that. So dreams are ways to bring things that are already in our psyche to the surface. So how you are asking the question, it means, yes, that is your answer. There is old energies to be resolved that you're wanting to bring forward. In general, every time we see a friend in a dream, does it mean that? Not necessarily.
Right.
But the fact that you're immediately interpreting that, that is your truth. Because if that's how you interpret it, that's what it's there for. So for someone else, it may be, oh, an old friend is thinking about you. An old friend wants to make a connection with you. It could be many different things. But for you, friend, it is that bringing something forward to re-look at it, to digest it from your current perspective. Because let's really use this as a teaching tool a lot of times, that questions get evoked because they are collective questions. And
yes.
Let us say that whenever old energy comes forward, so we think about a past event, what happens is that we sometimes get dragged back and become that old person. We tell the story like we're in that old time frame. The emotions start coming through our body. It is like that being takes you over. That old self of you takes over. Why energies or past comes forward is to ask you to be your present self. What is today's date? Who are you today? And what can you bring to that past self of yours, yes, that old self, that other version of you? What wisdom can you bring to that self that you didn't have available to you back then?
Oh, wow.
So instead of re-experiencing your pain and suffering, witness it. Stay separate. Create that car length distance from past self, present self, yes?
Yes.
And say, what healing can I bring to that past me? Because right now, presently, so we can look back on an old friendship and we can think, oh man, if I knew this, if I knew that, I would have said this, I would have been nice, I would have this, that. So what you do is you speak to your old self, it's okay. I am future self, and all things are going to work out. Here are some tools. And what you will see is that old self, actually, because it's you, right? So a lot of times we are guided by future and past selves of ourselves. We're getting complicated here, yes? But
indeed. But I'm still with you, yes, yes.
Right. So that if you just offer, so from a present day scenario, you might run a flame, you might offer to that self or that friend, that old version of that friend, a bubble around them, and you might just bring a blessing to your old self. And what you start doing is changing stuck energy. Because anytime we carry weight, that stuck energy, that old self wants forgiveness, wants freedom to say what you did, what you were in that moment was perfect. And only your present self can bring that to them, because your present self can see the bigger picture now.
Wow.
Good.
Very powerful.
Good. So we have some tools here. Yes, we have some tools about anytime something from our past comes up, don't get pulled into it. Stay present and ask, what wisdom can I offer to my past self as well as the past self of those involved? Because we seem to think of them being the same exact person, and they're not. You are a very different person than you were then. Yes, it's an aspect of you, not the totality of you.
Oh, exquisite. I feel the need to share something, too, that when I was doing healing work around my molestation, I was doing hypnosis work. And one of the things we did was we went into a movie theater.
Yes.
Where I saw every act of molestation that I could in my mind remember on a screen where I sat in the theater so I was safe.
Yes.
And what we did is when we played it, first she had me play it once, then we played it backwards. The next time we played it forward, I embodied everyone, myself, including the molester, in golden light.
Yes.
And what happened on that particular afternoon, because I was going like twice a week for about 2 years,
yes.
There was a visual that actually happened. It was it was a visual outside of this theater that, you know, the Da Vinci person that stands up with their arms outstretched and their legs outstretched. It's a very powerful stance. It was for me that day. And I saw myself go, and it literally, as I was putting the gold light around those experiences, I felt it shift my past, my present, and my future all simultaneously.
Exactly.
I mean, it was tangible what happened in that session.
And the image of the Da Vinci image is that your body did a physical healing. That
yes.
In that moment, your body, your DNA healed.
Wow.
Yes, good. And so let's look at the tools. So feel the compelling. I must share this story because, again, we're using the imagery. We're taking a tool, which is go to your past. So you gave it a very particular imagery, which was much stronger than the one I offered, which is sit in a movie theater. Play it on the screen in front of you. Play it backwards. Play it again and put light through it. So again, you give a very powerful distancing technique, which creates the present self to be differentiated from the past self.
Yes. Yes.
One is sitting in the theater, one is on the screen. And that is exactly the energy I was talking about.
I love you, Sophia. You rock.
And I love you, Sister. You're so able to take these big concepts and make them very accessible, yes, to every single person listening, whether they have a spiritual background or not.
Wow, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, yes, to be human, yes.
It is when we get to this phase, boy. Once we get to mud, it is grand. That shitty part, boy, that's a tougher space, but the mud is grand.
Yes, and eventually looking at the shitty space becomes, wow, you can't do that anyplace else. Wow. I can't believe the toxins on this planet. Wow! Because it allows us to have that opposite experience. We go so far to the smelly so that we can have the fragrance, that we can have that ecstasy fragrance. We can go all the way to the other extreme. That is the value of extreme stink, lets you have extreme beautiful fragrance as well.
That is the truth, because the sense that I have now in my ability to be alone, like when I go alone into the woods, I have had literally ecstatic experiences.
Yes, because you have allowed yourself to have the heart experiences.
Exactly.
You swung all the way to the left, so you can swing all the way to the right. We don't get bliss or ecstasy unless we touch the opposite frequency, the polar opposite frequency.
Well, and it actually, when you recognize it, is the same frequency. It's just two ends.
Exactly. It is the same frequency.
It is.
Exactly. So that is really revealing to all of those that seek bliss all the time, because you realize they're always going to be on a polar swing. They're always going to have the pendulum swing. The goal on this planet is not to be all the way to the right or all the way to the left at any time. It is right. to have a center point and choose to swing, knowing that as you go in one direction, you will naturally go in the other. And how do you eventually translate what is considered dark in a conscious way where you know you've gone to the light and had a blissed out experience? Okay, I'm going to go to the dark, and how do I do it gently, consciously awake? Because
yes.
it doesn't always have to be shit per se.
Yes.
Yes, it can be working with a shadow dance. It can be witnessing someone else's shadow. It doesn't always have to be what it has been in the past once you're conscious of it.
Yes, yes. Okay, someone in the chat room just asked, you mean there's no bliss beyond Earth, Sophia?
Do I mean that there is no bliss beyond Earth? Bliss is just translated in a different way. It doesn't have the physical sensation. You have a sense of bliss, but it's not tangible. It doesn't ricochet through your body. It doesn't have an individual experience anymore. Bliss is a sense that you almost become used to it, so it doesn't seem so dramatic. So in terms of bliss on your planet, do you have it anywhere else in terms of the frequency of bliss here? No, you do not, because it is, you don't have that polar opposite. So you are in a blissed experience, but you don't experience it as human bliss, because most of your environment, it doesn't have a downside. You don't have the dark side. You haven't forgotten. So bliss becomes a normal experience, a natural experience. That's why you come here, to have the opposite. So you really know bliss. So part of the reason humans per se are experiencing all of these sides are that you can go to other cultures, other frequencies, and say, oh, but let me tell you really what bliss is like from a human perspective. That's why we go there, so that we can really remember our life in an experiential and an individual way, because bliss in other cultures are more of a collective experience.
So where do we go once we're done, you know, choosing this on Earth?
Well, let's say there are many different places to go, and for many this is going to be, ooh, that's too much for me to think of. But let's say when we are complete with an Earth experience, it is almost like we go on galactic holiday, that we say, how do I be so nice to myself? So you choose, let's say, perspectives that have a similar visual frequency of a recognition of things that seem human, but they don't have all the strife that you have. So most that ascend from planet Earth will choose earthly cultures that haven't forgotten. So
right.
it is almost like a paradise, but you still see plants, waterfalls, animals, still have a human type of form. So you kind of go from here to paradise, per se.
Right, right.
And that's your vacation, and you take a little galactic journey and have several of those experiences, and then you get bored of that, and you say, okay, I'm ready to see something that has less of a humanness to it. You work your way up to that.
Okay, okay. I'd like to ask, and right now there's not a question on the chat room, have you ever been human, Sophia?
Let us say that I am the opposite. I am feminine, so I am the opposite energy of what you would call God frequency. I am goddess.
Okay.
So that I am all that is, you could say. So I cannot embody as one thing, because then I would not be another thing, if that makes sense.
That does make sense.
So no, have I ever been human? No. However, I have been the guide of humanity since the beginning of time. I actually am all humans. I am all things. I am everything you see. I am the air. I am the water. I am the manifestation of all that is. So God, let's say the God frequency is that which is unmanifested. Goddess energy is that which is manifested.
So there would never be a time that by choice you could individuate into an experience?
Let us say that, yes, in this moment I am individuating into an experience that I am bringing my frequency down, bringing communication in the sense, but would I choose that experience as a forgetting of everything else? No.
Okay.
Yes?
Okay.
I would not. My hands are pretty full, so that the planet requires a little bit of guidance. So if I would forget, what would happen? Well, it would feel like you all lost a best friend, for I am each and every one of your best friends. I walk with every single one of you. That is why I come across so human, because I walk with you over and over and over again in every lifetime. I know every life stream on this planet because I am all of that. I am you.
Wow.
That is the big, that will freak people out, but that is the totality.
Yeah, indeed, and that was a Goldie question. I was like, I need to ask that tonight. It just popped into my head, and I was curious, because I didn't know. I mean, I am clearly glad that your presence is here, clearly.
Thank you. The easiest way to digest who I am is to say a friend, a guide, a friend that walks with you over and over again, reflecting you back to yourself, encouraging you over and over again to remember what I remember about you. So it is like I am that little being next to you, those footprints in the sand, saying to you, remember, yes, that you are love. Remember that, remember yourself as I remember you.
Yes. Yes, it's beautiful.
So I am the one that is always remembering, always awake, yes? So would I ever choose to go to sleep? No, that is my burden to always be awake, yes? It is no burden at all, for being that which is manifested is an exciting, yes? It's exciting energy to be all things, and that is what you will all step into. You eventually merge with the all that is. So that is why you are so drawn to it, because you also know yourself to be Sophia. You know yourself to be the trees, the water, the animals, to be connected with all that is. That is why everyone is drawn to me, because I am a reflection of what you are. You are the manifested of all that is. You are an individuation, but you are a part of that whole.
Yes, 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 very good.
Good.
Very good. Well, we don't have questions, and you're blowing right. I mean, I'm going into my own head here, going, wow, that is just so amazing.
Good.
Your energy is very powerful tonight.
Oh, well, thank you.
Your presence, and because it's not a force.
Yes.
It's a presence.
And your questions are based on wanting to know me on a more personal level. For
yes.
I am always there to sit with everyone personally. And the more we can take me off of, like a god does not like to be put on a pedestal, does not like the idea that people believe there are 10 commandments, because that separates you.
Right.
So what you are doing is asking questions that pull the veil back, where you see I am not separate from anyone, that I am speaking to every single person, and that it's not just that Goldie is special by speaking together, or Christina being the channel is special. Each and every one of you, I speak like this. you're just not conscious of it right now. So if you say, I'm ready to be conscious of it, Sophia, I'm ready to know you as my friend, as my guide, you will see that I speak to all of you in your own language. So if you are someone that loves music, I speak in music. If you are someone that loves dance, I begin with dance, and it evolves from there. So for Christina, yes, she resides in that modality of movement and dance. That's where I first made contact with her.
Oh, wow.
With you, beloved, you have a childlike, playful energy, very a wizard with words. So here we meet on air, yes, connecting
Indeed.
Through that word connection.
Yes, yes, very much so. And the children, I mean, because, so it's an important part for the human to be connected to the passion, because in the passion, they'll find you.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And really, it's not about finding me. Yes, I will take it as that individual. Yes, I am there to guide. It is a form of why you look for me is because my goal is to always reflect you back. So in looking for me, in remembering your relationship with me, you remember your relationship with self.
Absolutely.
Because I have no other goal other than to reflect you back to yourself.
Oh, I see, exactly. Which is so amazing, because most of the time, human to human, there's always a motive in that.
Yes.
But there is, the only motive you have is for the person to see them, their own beauty, their own love, their own compassion.
Exactly. And I believe for many, it is a sometimes a nerve-wracking experience to spend time with a presence that knows you so well, because a lot of times humans spend time avoiding knowing thyself. So sometimes we don't get phone calls and people calling in because there is that nervousness of what is it like to spend time with someone who knows me. The thing that I say to everyone listening is that I have no need for you to know yourself. So I don't push you in a way that says, hurry up, awaken. Yes, know you the way I know you. I whisper. I encourage you. I am your cheerleader. I am someone, and I will be honest, I do push at times, yes, for you have asked me to push at times, but almost all contact with me comes from a place of gentle, isn't it great to sit in the presence of someone who knows you and doesn't need you to know what I know?
Indeed.
Yes, I don't need you to be more than exactly what you are, because I know that what you are is purposeful right now, and that I say to you, this present moment is a present. It is a gift. So let's settle in it and love you for exactly who you are, and start to stretch to that which you desire to be.
You're truly giving me tremendous aha moments tonight.
This
is a very personal show for me tonight.
We love it. And you will notice that what happens with us is that we get in this rhythm, and you could almost call it like a hypnosis type of rhythm.
Very much so.
We are reading the collective right now and letting, instead of the collective having to work, right?
Right.
We have agreed to do the verbal piece because you are the master with words. You are the wizard with words. You translate things into words so that we do this dance for people, so they are witnessing the dance and letting it wash over their bodies.
Oh, my God, that's exquisite.
Good. Wash over their psyches. Wash over their emotional bodies.
Yeah.
So that people actually receive during these shows, they sit back and say, oh, let me just kick my shoes off, sit back, and let my body have an experience experience. Let my emotional body have an experience. Let my physical body, and then let my mind just do this dance with them, follow them in this dance, because it's like going to a movie, all the images. So we have had the mud pies, we have had the driving, we have had the galoshes on, yes?
Absolutely.
We have gone through all of these images that people just want to experience so that they can take this right away and bring it to their lives.
Sophia, you too are a wizard with words. I mean, that is exquisite.
And that, I have been walking with each one of you for a long time. I better be good with words, right? I better be good at it. So what you hear in my words is a contemporary as well as an ancient, yes?
Yes.
Intonation, how I hold myself, holds present, past and future all in one, that evokes whatever is current right now to bring you to your truth.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Good. So take a breath in your body and just scan your body right now and say, what's going on with me physically?
Well, my hands are very warm.
Good. That is the healing hands. That is the activation of the part of you that can take that energy to any part of your body. So go beyond the hands and see what other aspect of your body is activated.
My feet.
Good. So that in your own right, you are looking to bring healing into the ground, grounding this healing down. Brilliant of you. Again, you're recognizing we're doing collective healing, and you're saying, man, let's bring it to the earth so I don't have to carry this all myself.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Good.
Definitely.
So let's say that to all those listening. Connect down through your feet, because what we are all doing together is we are doing planetary healing that you don't want to carry individually. You want to bring that through your body and say, aha, it's like washing yourself clean of collective energies that have plagued you for lifetimes of being healers, and releasing it to Gaia, releasing it to the ground, trusting in the mud.
Yes.
Good. So physically, now emotionally, let's check in emotionally. What's going on with you in your emotions?
I have several times wanted to cry.
Good, that releasing, that shedding.
I mean, I could do that right now. I'm a little bit holding back because I'm on the air, but I am definitely welled up with emotion right now. Joy, but a joy of, it wants to come out.
Good, so let it come out. So let's translate the tears, yes, because sometimes we're not able to always bring the tears. As much as we know everyone would welcome your tears, let's translate them right now.
Okay.
And let's bring those tears into a sound. So take that welling of energy and translate it in a sound. I'll start with a sound, and then you'll reflect it back.
Okay.
Whatever you want could be reflective of my tone. It could be something else. You ready?
Okay.
Ah.
Wee.
Ah.
Yes. Wow, that was
yes, good. The laughter, good. It's releasing it. Ba ba da ba da ba.
Chicka boom, chicka boom, chicka boom, boom, boom.
Yee! Woo!
Wow! Woo! Woo!
Good. So what we are remembering here is sometimes we're not able to bring our expressions out in the way that we want to. But you would be surprised at a dinner party if you said a song right now, that people would look at you and say, really? Yeah, let's sing a song. Why not? Yeah? And it usually just takes someone making an offhanded suggestion that lets you go there, right?
Indeed.
So it's not always normal to make sounds on air, but in context it actually works. So we created context to it. We are going to release the tears in sound, yes?
Wow, indeed. And so you could bring that to somebody who might still be, like, you know, in the conditioning of resistance to cry.
Yes.
We could say, okay, so we don't have to cry. We can make sounds to release.
Exactly. So, and a lot of people might have issues with sounds that are coming out of their mouth. So you could make sounds, snapping.
Oh, snapping, indeed. Okay.
Stamping. So we have sounds, we have movements, yes. We have movements that have sounds to it, but we also have, how could we express those tears through a physical movement? So if you were to do a gesture right now, just create a gesture and describe it to us.
Waving my hands and my arm in a figure eight.
Good. And my gesture is taking the hands from the heart and really unfolding them out. So
oh, beautiful.
Letting those tears that come from the heart out.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Gorgeous.
So know that we don't always have to do our processing verbally. We have movements. We have sounds. We have drawing. So let's take the same energy. Let's take that welling of tears and bring it to a piece of construction paper or a white piece of paper, and we have crayons in front of us.
Absolutely.
What would we do? What color would we choose? Yes? And it's not to say, let me depict it in my tears. I have to get in there and draw something realistic. Let's just take that energy and make a swish across the paper.
A rainbow tears.
There you go. Naturally, you know what it is. Ah, there is a rainbow.
Yeah.
And feel that energy of the rainbow. There is an arcing. It's about taking that crayon and arcing the energy, because that's what you're feeling, an arcing of energy.
What do you mean by arcing? I'm not understanding. What does that mean?
Feel that rainbow. So we start it.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So not only are you expressing, yes, through an actual movement, you're moving one side to another, you're taking a color, and then you're taking the rainbow color, because in some ways you're saying, this is about all my chakras. So you're translating it in a rainbow and bringing it from one side of the spectrum to the other. So your drawing immediately is revealing, just like your yellow raincoat is revealing.
Incredible.
And what is the common denominator here? What is the thing that we are resourcing over and over again? And it's creativity.
Absolutely.
Imagination, stepping out of that box and translating things in different ways. Sound, movement, drawings, music.
Full body. It's everything. It's everything. It's all the senses, including the inside senses.
Exactly. Exactly. So let's check your emotions now. How is your emotional body feeling now?
I'm feeling very light and childlike. I mean, you really do bring the child right up to the window, smile, and not a window as if to look inside from the outside, but a window of the veil being pulled aside.
And lovely.
Yeah,
lovely.
That's the truth.
And it's about transformation. We transform together because you allow yourself to be vulnerable on air and you allow the transformation to take place. So you allow yourself to a welled up energy. You allow that energy to transform by having the courage to make sounds on air, having the courage to actually make a drawing. Yes?
Yes. Yes.
Good.
You are such a safe energy. I'm just so honored that we have danced this dance together.
Well, thank you, beloved. Thank you. And I want to create enough time to possibly, if that's okay with you, to bring Christina back for you to do the details of reminding people where they can find me, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, of course.
Human details, yes?
Yes, Sophia. Oh, my God. If you can feel it. Big, big, huge thank you and a hug, and I can't wait to see you next month. I can't wait to be with you again.
Of course I feel it. I feel all of you, and I remind you that you are deeply loved, deeply respected, and I send my hugs and kisses back, yes?
Got them. Got them. Thank you so much for being here this evening. The world says thank you.
Thank you, my friend. Namaste.
Indeed. Namaste.
Hello.
I'm with you, Chris.
Hi. Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I love what the two of you, and I imagine it's actually a whole bunch of people actually creating all of this. I think
absolutely.
It's lovely.
Yeah, she explains things to me that are just so eye-opening, heart-opening, awareness-opening. So fun to dance with her. Just so to play. The whole thing is just, it's a play date with Sophia.
Yeah, well, I think that's a really lovely way to describe her, because that's what she does, both in public and private, over and over again. I think the gift of Sophia is to take our hard material and lift it up and have a little bit of fun with it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I want to honor, we have 7 minutes, but I want to honor, Sophia wanted, there are people that need to know where to find you, and she must have sensed that. So
it's ChristinaSophia.com, so it's Christina with a K and Sophia with a PH. And basically that whole website is set up to run you through, as much information as we can give, we put on that website. So it talks about who Sophia is, what channeling is, who I am. And I think one of the most important parts of the website is that we have all the links to YouTube, so you actually can go and see what Sophia looks like coming through me and my trepidation sometimes of being seen on film. And then throughout all of that, there is a store where we have a line of CDs that you can go through a journey with Sophia around a subject matter. And then there's always private time with Sophia, which I do both face-to-face in the Los Angeles area. But most of my work is actually done over the phone. So people call in from all over the world and have... What I love, Goldie, is I feel like you give an example of what it's actually like to spend time with Sophia one-on-one.
It really is spending time. And I never try to take away from time from the chat room or the callers.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I mean, I'm always about, you know, this is, I'm a public figure trying to create a bridge for the public, but there seems to be an energy that is created genuinely between me and Sophia that it's like the chat room sometime kind of knows, and they just give us the space to do these, I think, truly genuine earth healings.
Yeah, I think it's really amazing. So I love that. And I actually, there's one other program, there are two radio hosts that I go on. The same exact thing happens, that they're so amazed that people just become silent and that they do this weaving dance. So she has called it before like a form of hypnosis where it really lets everyone relax.
Absolutely.
And have an experience. So I think that's great. And I really do encourage people, the one thing about Sophia, she always has some insight to offer. No matter how difficult your question, no matter how long something has plagued you, she definitely gives ways to help you find the answers. So anyone that has those burning questions that maybe you can't say on air, I really encourage you to check out doing a one-on-one with her, because I have found people who have said to me, I have struggled with that my whole life. I have gone to therapy. I have asked therapist after therapist. And in 3 minutes, she like opened up a doorway that, oh my God, it's like truth was there for me all along. But in 3 minutes, she solved like a lifetime problem of mine. So
yes, yes. And that really is available from a conscious level right now.
Yes.
That is available to, we really don't have to suffer anymore.
Exactly.
In a moment, our shit will turn to mud in that awakening moment.
Exactly. And those things we keep tucked away, like Sophia is such a safe place to bring it. So
yeah.
I just encourage everyone, all that stuff we keep hidden, there's definitely a safe place to bring it.
Absolutely. Really. I mean, the goddess Sophia, the all divine feminine. You know, this is...
She's seen it all.
Yeah, well, she's seen it all. I mean, if that doesn't bring up a picture of nurturing, I mean, like, wow, the divine mother, there's no masculine.
Right.
That's just pure nurturing.
Exactly. Well, thank you. It's been so lovely.
It is exquisite. I had a great time with both of my guests tonight.
Yeah.
it is...
It was exquisite. John was doing is doing a great job on the chat room. Thank you, John, because I don't have a monitor person at the moment, so I really wasn't worried about it with you guys because I knew John would come in and you know, keep all that flowing. So thank you, John, and Healing Vortex and Dream Master and Creative Things, everybody, Boat Mom, you guys are, I know that you're Sophia's following, but when you come to the show, I really do feel all of you, and there's just such an exquisite unity of feelings that I get during these shows. I'm tremendously grateful to everyone and every being, physical and non-physical, for being here. It's exquisite.
Great.
Yeah. So anything coming up? We still got 2 minutes.
Oh, great. Oh, I never know what we have for time. So.
Yeah, okay. We got 2 minutes. So if you got events or...
Yeah, everything, again, is I always come out of trance going, how do I do all the business stuff now?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, huh.
Indeed.
Get the brain back on. Everything is listed on the website, ChristinaSophia.com. And one of the things that we do is we have a weekly newsletter, which is Insights, that really catches everyone up on what's going on with the week. Sophia gives a little lesson for the week and really talks about our upcoming events. So if anyone wants to sign up for that, we actually offer a free ebook download that you will get if you sign up for the emails. And I find that they're really actually really fun to kind of connect in with Sophia once a week and kind of sets the week in terms of the tone. What's coming up? What could I pay attention to?
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
It really kind of sets it up. So I encourage everyone to check out the website, ChristinaSophia.com, and hey, join in the community because we have a lot of fun.
Indeed. And we're all real. So there's, you know, it's okay to bring it all to this community. You can bring your shadow. You can bring your light. All are welcome.
All is welcome, even the shit.
Yeah. Indeed. Indeed. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you, Chris. Thank you, Sophia. And I will see you in 4 weeks.
Yay.
Yay. You guys have an amazing time in the next month. And I love you. I love you with all my heart, Chris.
Thank you. Same here.
All right. Everybody, you guys have a great night. Next week is the 27th. We will have a new author on who takes words from books and kind of plays with the words and gives it new meanings, similar to the way I think Neil Donald Walsh did when he first came out. It should be a very interesting show. I hope everybody has an amazing week. Thank you so much for sharing your time, your presence, your energy, your love. It really touches me. So I love you guys. I'll see you next week. Bye.